Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization, Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 non-profit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
We acknowledge that the Revital Health Podcast is recorded on the unceded lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people of the Noongar Nation, Borloo. We recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture and pay our respects to Noongar elders past and present. In this episode of the Revital Health Podcast, I sit down with Ben Verrier to explore a more intelligent and personalised approach to movement, training and long-term resilience. Ben works in a way that goes far beyond conventional exercise, and we discuss why movement is about much more than just sets and reps, how building trust in your body can change the way you train, recover, age, and live. From handstands, plyometrics, and barefoot training, through to nervous system awareness, recovery, nutrition, and the power of being outdoors. This conversation is full of practical insights for anyone wanting to move better and feel stronger in their body. We also speak about the importance of asking better questions, listening to the body more closely, and finding approaches that are adaptable to the individual rather than forcing everyone into the same mold. If you've ever felt limited by pain, injury, fear, stiffness, or the idea that your body cannot change, this is the conversation that is a really hopeful reminder that there is almost always something you can do. So in this episode, we cover why movement is about freedom, confidence, and adaptability, the difference between movement and exercise, how plyometrics, landings, and varied movement patterns build resilience, why handstands and playful movement can be a powerful way for training of the brain and the body, and the role of morning routines, sunlight, and outdoor training, barefoot training, foot strength and movement capacity, how to think about training frequency and recovery, why nutrition needs to match the demands you place on your body, and the value of personalized coaching and learning to trust your body again. All right. Welcome to Revital Health Podcast, Ben. I am so happy to have you here.
Thank you, Jodi. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I've been trying to get Ben on, everyone, for a very, very long time, and he keeps avoiding me, even though I see him twice a week for training.
Yeah, excited about this, but so it should be good fun. We always have good combos in training, so I suppose it's just like that, but being recorded, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, I guess why I wanted you on the podcast so badly is because I send so many people to you, as you know, because you work in a very unique way. And everyone who I speak to who comes to see you and trains with you says the same thing. And you have a gift with people and understanding how they move and the underlying processes and the impacts of external circumstances and not only nutrition and biomechanics, but biochemistry, and, you know, all the things that goes along with a healthy human, well-functioning, well-moving human. So, you know, what you're able to adapt. And I think this is why we have, among many reasons, great conversations, is because we both practice in different areas, but also in very similar ways. And it's very personalized and it's very, adaptable, and how we need to be seeing clients in different ways on different days. So, yeah. You know, I guess a bit of history, because I like to always provide people a context, and anyone who's listening, I think, you know, to know the person behind the person is really important in this industry and in our world at the moment, to know who our people are. So why movement, Ben?
It's a good question, but like a lot of people that would say, but sort of lifelong, you're always moving, you're always doing things. Lots of different factors, I guess, as well, like anybody else. When I was, I'm assuming most people, when I was younger, I found that like I, if I went to the gym or did certain things, I could change things about myself. I had a bit more control and power, and like my direct network would give me some kind of input and change. And that was from a gym lens. And then like there's all the activities outside of that. So I used to ride my bike a lot and run around BMX with 1080s crashing and all sorts of stuff. And that was great for my mental health as well, especially when times are really hard. So it's just like the positive effect it had on my life. And I just a person with lots and lots of questions that people couldn't answer. And that frustrated me a lot. And I could try it out with lots of different things. I could say I was always interested in health. Like, mum got pretty sick when I was young, and like I want to answer that. And there's all different avenues that, you know, I could say. I guess it had a very positive influence on my life. I had some kind of power over the direction I was going, or like power over the circumstances I was put in, or at least that was something I could do about it. And I just had lots of questions that that I feel like we should have had better answers for, and maybe we do, but I didn't have a voice, first of all, to sort of ask the right questions. I didn't know who to ask. So just chipping away and like hit lots of roadblocks along the way, which helped me ask better questions and then find sort of better answers, and sort of a continuing journey.
Yeah.
Sadly for myself, and then I once I've made a bit of progress, I'm just like somebody else comes with something. I'm like, you know, you can do something about that, right? So,
yeah, and that, you know, even from personal experience, you know, I come to you, I'm like, oh, you know, shoulder pain, oh, back pain, oh, and you know, it's not a limitation really to training. You know, it never stops us doing sessions. It just does it in a different way. It's just a different area that you're looking at. So there are always ways to be moving and rectifying and shifting perception on things. And I think that that's what we would see as a lot of people who are close to us in circles that we are in, but I don't think it's a commonality between a lot of people and a lot of, you know, practitioners or even doctors, medical community. So yeah, I think it's something that is really quite special that we can offer people to actually have an understanding of, that there is things that we can be doing. It gives hope, especially injuries. Exactly.
There's something you can do about it, right? It's the biggest thing. It's like the body will speak to us. There's little niggles or things going on, or people will just like, I have this thing. And it sometimes is hard to deal with, right? So that's why if you go see somebody else, they'll have the knowledge or it gets dismissed. But like, there's always something you can do about it, and it's partly problem solving. You can just like, I'll listen to it, but I'll ignore it a little bit and see if it's a problem. It's like, is it, you know? So yeah. But I think the main thing for, I guess, if I'm making the assumption of somebody else listening, or there's so much you can do. We have like, I have this thing, I have that thing, I have that thing. I'm like, yeah, that's all right. It's important information. But like, there's no reason why you can't change it. And there's so much evidence of people changing very similar things as well. So it's just like, you know, what can we do about it? And I suppose the hard thing is like, the trying the different things, sitting there with the person, and then like just keeping an eye on it. And it's, yeah, that's where I think not enough people have the time. They've been maybe some very skilled practitioners. Like, it's hard with the time, the patience, and then just like allowing yourself to problem solve. You might not get it right straight away. There's somebody's on your side. They've got information. They've got experience, and they're just chipping away at it. Like, you're going to get some good progress regardless. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's sort of zoom out a little bit, because I like to, you know, I'm very structural but not structural at the same time. But, you know, there's different ways that we can look at movement. And so I want to start where, you know, obviously there's different tools. There's, you know, in the toolkit, there's so many different things that you use within your sessions and suggestions and recommendations for people. But firstly, you know, what do you think is missing in our current life in relation to movement that then we regret as we get older? Because we've had big discussions about this, because you've got me doing things that I never thought I could be doing. And then I do it and I'm like, oh, wow, okay, that was easy.
And we're just sort of starting. We're setting the base course for bigger things. But I think you're touching on it there is it's hard because I want to explain this properly, because I guess I hear things and we repeat the same words in maybe other podcasts or other information, and it sort of becomes whitewash. But I think two things, like there's a lot of movements that we can, when they're done in a particular way, they give us the benefit we want, we're looking for. So to have an eye for that, which is just somebody that can have a bit of experience, it's very broad. But like, the second thing is having a body that you can trust somewhat. It doesn't have to be 100% bulletproof, right? You need a bit of that fear as well. And then to try new things. So like I am Brazilian. I can do these things. I can have fun. There's many ways to do this stuff. I can be a little bit competitive. Like, you know, I can also be gentle. There's so many different things you can do. You know, sometimes I push more towards one end or the other, and I see it in other people in different ways. Like, the experience, being outside, like going on a bit of adventure, like just whatever, like running, rock climbing, handstand, swimming, I don't know, like sharing your body with somebody else. There's all these things that like you regret. It affects your mental state, how you show up in the world, what you're scared of. Yeah, so it's just like, I don't know, the better base you can have that, the more freedom it gives you in your mind and in your body. And then, I don't know, maybe like better relationships as well. And it's not the fact that you need this amazing body to do those things. It's just like, where's my body at, and what can I do to get my body feeling good? And, you know, that's different for everybody else, and we all hear that, but like, it's important. There's always like micro degrees of improvement. You can do that for anybody. Like, I've seen some people where I watch at the start, especially when I first started training, I'm like, oh, like, this is going to be interesting. But they make amazing progress. People that are very young, people that are very old, dementia, and I'm like, I don't know how we're, you know, how much progress going to make. Everybody with the right cues, the right input, the right recovery makes good progress. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. I guess that also speaks to that adaptability of the human and how incredible we actually are when we put our mind to it.
Yeah. I actually get shocked with a few people. I'm like, they are doing, like, I know the processes and I know where I want to get, and I see what their body's capable of, and I'll try this, and I've got this idea and that idea, and I start layering that on. But when I start seeing it, I've got to tell them, like, you're doing really freaking good, you know, like, this is amazing. And they'll usually be like, yes, I feel more this or this or this, right? And like, there's still so many more answers out there, and I'm not trying to find like the perfect answer for everything, but there's still, I want to know a lot more. Like, I think there's a lot more like potential, right? And it'll be good if I was, that's why I thoroughly enjoy training you, because the conversations we had, I want to be with people that are asking those questions as well. Like, I want to get more input. I want to be able to maybe create faster changes, or like more efficient, or all those kind of things as well. So like, there's still more answers, and it's just like, it's a constant like adjustment to reality, right? Like, well, what's going on here? Can we layer on better things?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, down to those layers, and that's where I was sort of going to lead to next, is that there's all these different things that we can look at, and obviously what we discuss. So obviously you've got the movements, and then, you know, from what I understand and speaking with you, like the plyometrics and the multiplanar and the rotational, and obviously then the, you know, typical strength, and then, you know, obviously in your you know, different planes, we're doing different strength work, and then the consistency really counts, and so all of that movement stuff. But then once we drill down into the response of the body, you know, what the nervous system is doing at the particular time of the day, you know, how tired you are, how what time of the day that you're training, you know, and then you drive down into the muscles and then the cells, and then we talk a lot about the biochemistry and, you know, what can limit that and the cells working well and producing energy for you, and then the lactic acid and how it's a signaling. So there's so many different layers to this, but I guess and it's hard to talk about it all in one podcast. But maybe some of the, you know, like key snippets that you think that really have made huge differences in people that you've trained. You know, I speak from personal experience and I know what has worked for me, but you see so many more vast varieties of people. You know, again, it's like, you know, plyometrics for me, I found to be so useful in feedback for the body.
That's an interesting one. I guess when I first started training, like, I'm just like, all right, I'm jumping around, plyometrics. And then I think it was really more actually, I did a bit of sprint work with a good coach, named Jacob Green. He was called introducing this to some very interesting things, but it's just applying, like, force in the right way. And it's starting to, like, branch out a bit more, but you just have so many more options than you think you do. And when the tools are applied, I think a little bit better, you get these outputs. Like, I was strength training for years. I was like, not that these are good or bad. It's just I was hitting like head squats, heavy deads. I was moving okay weight. Like, but I wasn't really like that bouncy. I didn't move that level. Like, I was sort of strong. Like, I looked pretty good, I felt. But yeah, so finding that there's different ways to maybe, like, I never was able to jump very high, and now I can jump, depending on who you talk to, moderately. But, like, yeah, so I'm seeing good improvements comparatively to where I was from applying the right things. So I actually see, I take the, we call it the young at heart, the seniors class, and that's the most fun. So if I ask them to jump straight away, I can't jump, like, this or that hurts or that hurts. So you've got to find fun, sneaky ways to start to put in a jump, and then by, like, after a little while, you see them with confidence in their body jumping. You can break it down. Not necessarily the jumping all the time, right? It's the landing and how we're landing, and then, like, the force through the tendons and how we're absorbing that, which gets the adaptations we want, which helps us to be a little bit springier. And then you can just put constraints on to get these outcomes. You can add in your, like isometrics, but, like, the long hold isometrics, these short, heavy ones, just to get the stimulus that you want. And it doesn't have to be complicated. But, like, you can get some really good output. Like, I felt like my strength was as strong as it's ever been. My jump was higher and the sprint was faster from adding in the right kind of, like, landings, holds, deflect work. I don't want to sound too complicated, because sometimes with dropping a weight and catching it, or, like, stepping off a box and landing correctly, right? I look for that input. And then, like, having a metric like the bar score, and can you touch it? Like, not yet. Cool, let's change it. Like, you feel you're getting better. I can see when people are jumping. And the cool thing about the landing and the jumping and the skill thing is, like, at the start, I need to give cues, like, this, that, and people look at me, is that right? Is that right? And then I'll wait a couple of, like, turns or whatever sets. Then they're like, they get intrinsic feedback. That's how good. That was bouncy. That was strong. Great. Like, and that's very valuable, right? And then you can start to talk about more ideas. You know, that feeling, try to get that feeling that you got when you landed off the box, but, like, right before you jump here. And then you get these really good outcomes. And it even surprises me where I see people, like, jumping and landing, do all sorts of stuff. I'm like, well, I don't know if they're capable of that. Like, you start to see it more and more, and you understand it. Like, okay, cool. I don't like it. Like, smashed her ankle, doing all sorts of rehab, and it was getting better, but they're like, oh, you have trouble walking up and down, you never jog or walk again or whatever. And I did all the rehab, and it was okay, but it wasn't great. And we started adding in some gentle pliers and some landing and whatnot, and, like, we had to be very attentive and careful. She's perfectly fine now, but better than it's ever been, doing more things than she could before she hurt the ankle. And even I was a little bit shocked at the start. I'm like, interesting. So these inputs are they have a lot of potential, right? And if it's done the right way, I mean, you've got to respect the body and it'll give you feedback and things get sore or you can overdo it and all that. But like, you get really cool outcomes and it's kind of fun as well, right? Like, you're not doing the same just grueling thing. You're adding in some like, yeah, some nice sharp, snappy things. And I think that's like part of how a good human body should feel, right? Being bouncy, being able to move side to side. Like, I don't know, you feel kind of like there's good sensation. So I think it's, like, it's getting better, but it's somewhat underutilized in that sense. So that's a very cool avenue. It can be very simple as well to, like, apply.
Absolutely. And, you know, thinking back that to how, you know, it's natural feedback, there is an intrinsic, but also you know, hit goals really quite quickly. And I think every time I want to talk about a few different things as well, like the handstand specifically and the benefits around that, because that's what drew me initially to come and train with you. And then we've just incorporated so many other different things into the training. But it's that mental willpower and strength that is built, I think, within these exercises and belief in the self. So there's so many other benefits than just to what we know about exercise, because obviously exercise, we know, benefits the body, the circulation, the muscles, the bone density, all these things that we need exercise for, the BDNF, the, you know, breaking new cycles, the neurogenesis, all the things that we love.
All the things, right?
But, you know, really it's like, well, if you then challenge your PBs and you've like reached that, there's nothing better than that feeling, but also being in that pure state of flow. And that's what you get into when you have to do slightly difficult things to be able to focus.
I like that. Is there something about that you notice? It depends on, it's probably the same as, you know, they say, like, when we're like trying to learn and retain information, there's that frustration that like precedes the learning, right? Like, you're like, oh, this is hard over my head, and trying to focus. But yeah, I find, and you notice the environments, like, say I catch up with some friends and everyone's doing some, I don't know, like climbing or jumping or whatever. They're like, oh, all right, now I've got to do it. You've got a bit of adrenaline. You're a little bit nervous, you know, so, but you end up being a bit sharper because of it. And I guess if you can, in the gym as well, because a lot of people feel like that's a big jump for them to go to, it doesn't have to be anything crazy, but something that's slightly challenging, and that's different for everybody. But if you, and it's even showing the body, because you can regress anything, right? You just got to be somewhat intelligent about it, and then you can progress it over time and we adapt. It's like you showing yourself and your body that, like, okay, I can do this, I'm all right. You're showing me as a trainer, I'm like, all right, cool, she's going to be all right on the next progression. And you're like, I can't do that. And then you know you can do it. And then even if you do get a bit of fear, you understand, like, because it's a safe environment. You've got all the metrics, like, I can jump this far, I can hold on for this long, I can go upside down, like, I can bail out of this. And then you're in that area that's a little bit challenging, but you have that proof. You don't even need faith in your body. You have the proof that you can do it to a certain degree. And then someone there to back you and help you out with it. It's gold. It's actually, because that's a good point, because you move away from like just the heavy lifting, where there's a great use for that, which is like, you know, it's a really good tool. But there's all these other avenues that people possibly don't touch on enough. So it is like, yeah, doing something slightly scary, moving your body in a different way, or just challenging or competitive. They're all sort of in that same realm, right? That's where the goal is. If you can add that into people's training, it's or into your own life, it's very beneficial, because otherwise it's the same as like experiences. Like, the world gets smaller and then it's only getting smaller, and then you're like, oh, like, this is harder, I'll do less. And it's inevitably going to be that way, and that's okay. But if you can just like push that out and keep it out for longer and have the right guidance, it's just, I don't know, life, yeah, that's scary, right? It's more fun, and you're living it a little bit better. Yeah, I think that's where the goal is, right?
It's richer, definitely a richer life and more expansive, like you say, and it feels, yeah, to be safer. You know, nothing scares me more than when I see, a lot of older people and they can't get off the floor, you know, from sitting down, or they won't attempt just to sit on the floor because they know they're not able to get up. And that scares the crap out of me, because I think, like, wow, like, I need to make sure that I am going to be able to move and be agile and to trust my body as old as I will. But, you know, you see different cultures. Yeah, Japanese, I just was there, and you see like the completely 80, 85 year olds, like, up the stairs in their onsen, hopping in. You know, they're just
Oh, yeah,
carrying
I love
shit.
that.
That's how we should be, but we are not. We are declining, and I've seen it quite rapidly.
Yeah, you can see it's a good example. I've had it many times in my life where, like, you get sick, you hurt yourself, you're stunting, and my body feels frail. And I'm like, oh, and it's, you've got to just move that momentum around. I've been lucky I've had enough, like, blatant proof that, like, you can always change this. And I was relatively stubborn as well. So that helped a lot. Sometimes you don't have enough help. It gets hard. So it's like the environment's very important. I'm like talking about these other cultures from what I've heard. I've been to a few. Is the environment they're in, like, they might not know they're old, they're not meant to do a certain thing, or they've just always been doing it. They find different adaptive ways. They have friends that help them out, or community, or it's just, so they're always touching on that all the time. So that fear or that inactivity or that restriction doesn't really come into their world too much, and they find another way to adapt. Like, I don't want that to be like a negative thing that people hear that are like, all right, I'm not just adapting. If you've got some issues or injuries, like, there's people that can help or like navigate and improve it. They can fix it, but you can improve it to a certain amount of degrees. And yeah, it is hard. The world comes pushing in a little bit, and I get to see it with my parents at the moment and my dad and his partner and sort of what they're going through. But again, they've got amazing mindset, so they just sort of chip along and get things done. But yeah, it's going to come, right? Like, it's unavoidable. So it's just, can you do all these things to help yourself out? And it doesn't have to be a lot. It's just, yeah, I think there needs to be more help in a nice way. It doesn't have to be heavy. It doesn't have to be a million and one tasks. There's just better ways to do things. And there's also a lot of noise as in, like, what's right and what's wrong, and like, biases of different things. And it's hard not to get caught up in it. And you want to do the right thing. And it's like, okay, what does the research say? Well, like, the big thing is, how are you feeling? How does your body feel? Like, can you build that relationship again? Like, I feel pretty good. Like, okay, cool. It's like, I tell my dad that and stuff. He's like, do you notice this or that? He's like, I feel fine. Like, I can't argue with that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Building that intrinsic understanding with the body a bit as well, and building some trust is very valuable as well. How does this feel? Our bodies are always regenerating as well, which is amazing. You forget about that. And it's the right input too. To give that regeneration in the right environment.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the environment, you know, yeah. I was almost going to make these rapid fire, because it's some things that we, you know, again, it's the noise, but it doesn't have to be rapid fire. But things I want
to touch me, yeah.
So in environment to training, so this would be, you know, we sometimes discuss this, so I kind of know the answers to some of these, but, you know, outdoors or indoors, what would we say?
Yeah, I prefer outdoors, and there's lots of reasons why. Outdoors is better. There's a lot of reasons. Sunshine, all sorts of things you can say for health in general. If you can, take it outdoors. There's also, like, getting started. You might need to go indoors and have someone to help you first, but just spending time outside is underrated. Like, and I can't stress how underrated that was. And I didn't value it years ago. Yeah. Like, I was always outside, but like simple things, like in the morning, I think everybody talks about it now, and in the morning sunlight, I used to just sit on my bed and scroll when I was tired. I was like, I can do anything, right? And then later, like when I first, this is years ago, first I've got outside and like sit in the sun, I was like, ah, oh, this is fucking bullshit. Bring my phone out and still scroll. But after 15 or 20 minutes, I do feel a lot better, right? And it was a big change for me. And then I've always been the way, when I do get stressed, I'll like go to the beach or sit in the park, sit the trees and whatnot, sit on the grass. And yeah, you notice these sort of things that I just feel a bit healthier, happier, and can manage things more. So like the more you compare those things, amazing. Therefore, all the things that you probably think, you're like, oh, it's a bit awkward. Sunshine in your eyes in the morning, like obviously don't get sunburned, but it's underrated, and you can really rabbit hole that. And for most people, just keep it simple, but know that it is very, very valuable. And like we all feel, like you go outside, you're like, oh, the sun is amazing, right? Like just makes you feel better, you're happier. Yeah, like you're in a park, there's birds around, or in the ocean, or you're not many people, unless it's like windy or rainy, not many people are like grumpy because they're there, right? It's a very simple feedback. They're like, this is beautiful, right? Other people are happy. Like It's nice.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot to say around everyone's in gyms now and there's fake lighting in there and maybe the wrong timing of the workouts and all that, which brings me to my next question, time of day for movement.
It's interesting. Something first thing is really nice. So I used to be the opposite where I should set my alarm 7 minutes before I had to be somewhere and I just pop a shower and I'd love to sleep in. But then I realized, if I want a sustainable life, then go to bed a bit earlier and get up a bit earlier. And now I just value, I don't necessarily train hard in the morning, but I've always got a bit of a morning routine and it sort of differs from what I think I need. But I'm getting up and I'm moving. Just moving in certain ways that sort of to support me for the rest of the day. And I can't just add in something that I want to sort of work towards. It might just be a little bit of a flow for my hips and whatnot, like a Tai Chi, like movements. Something that I love and I've been applying a lot. And I learned from the guys at Aspen, so Glenn and Emma, just the standing meditation was amazing. So working on, I guess, posture and just more like a check in with the body. How do I feel? Where am I, where am I tight? Can I keep my mind quiet because I'm thinking about a million one different things? Just focus on my body at the moment. Just, tightening first thing is really, really nice for me. It sets myself up for the day amazingly. I used to get annoyed if I rushed straight off to work. I didn't get to sort of move or do something for myself. So I'm doing all these things for other people. When I'm starting to get resentful, I'm getting annoyed. And so if I spend 20 minutes or something, I've got a little bit of that. I usually drag out as much as I can and just rush to work. But that's priceless for me. It's a really good way to start the day. So I would highly recommend just something little to start and then building a craft.
So yeah, I agree. Morning routines is big. And I think training with you has actually brought that into my life a little bit more. And also now into my recommendations for my clients, was just today having a conversation about what we can do with our morning routines and how we can be excited about our morning routines because they can. So, you can pair it, coffee, sunshine, water, movement, standing meditation, which you've brought to my attention, so all these things that you can be doing in the morning and it can adapt and change to how the day presents for you.
So many different things. I think it sounds like it has to be this hard thing. I've got one client, I made her walk around the block and it was a 6 minute walk and she's like, it's not long enough. And I'm like, it is, just do it. And she she goes, I live in a very, busy area. So outside is just hectic traffic and I don't want to go outside. But then she started to walk and she's like, now I hear the cockatoos in the morning when the sunrise comes and now I see the park that's actually across the road and I say hi to the same people walking the dog and she's like, I actually love it. I'm not walking fast. I'm like, that's amazing. And she's, I guess we underestimate those small things. And you sort of leverage what you need and what you enjoy as well. You might just sit and do a bit of a meditation. You can do some breathing drills. I'm very specific about where I want to get in the adaptation, so I won't sort of go too far down that avenue. But you can pick and choose something that works for you, that what you think you need, that you kind of enjoy, and then just, exactly like you said, pair it and build upon it, right? Add to that if you want. You probably start waking up a bit earlier, and I'll get annoyed. I want to wake up earlier and get a bit more time in, or a bit more sunshine, or whatever else. But you've got to make it work for yourself. But it's simple little things that give you, I guess, really big results, right? So,
absolutely. So, on that as well, in terms of noise out there on frequency of movement. So, and I think that the careful thing to point out here is that I'm also using on purpose the word movement versus exercise, because I think that's a really clear definition in terms of any movement can be exercise. And so, can we do too much? And another way to word this, is more always better? And what is a frequency of what you would recommend people? And I know that's a loaded question.
that's right. You can do too much for sure, right? In a sense of there's for everything, there's always a balance. In just moving in general, as in not exercising, you're probably not going to do too much, but what's cool wording people use? Movement snacks, right? People describe it like that. But again, underrated, the small get up, do something a little bit more often. You don't have to frame it as exercise, but like if you're sitting on, if you're sitting somewhere for a while, you probably get up and like crack the back or touch the toes or move around. Yeah, you shouldn't do anything. You just want to just like add something in really simple, right? There's even like the old, if you remember, wasn't it the 4-Hour Body, Tim Ferriss, the old books he talked about how much food he was eating and a little exercise. Like that was so many years ago, but it just like, yeah, and there's so many different ways to do that. So like adding some stuff in that makes the body feel good. I think we undervalue anything like, oh, that's not going to do anything. It's not a proper workout. Like, honestly, you could just like move the space on the wall, kick up for a handstand and hold for as long as you could or set a timer and that's it, you know, 60 seconds or something against the wall and then back down to work. And another amazing thing that is underrated that I probably don't do enough with, I should, but like just people dancing, right? Like when they're cooking food or in their kitchen, or it's such a good way to learn to articulate your body well. And that's stuff that I didn't value when I was just lifting weights. I was like, what's like, yeah, there's not enough tension on the muscle. I didn't care about that. But you get, I guess different people with different systems expose you to it and explain that the happiest people, the healthiest people can move well, dance well, express better things. They're just, yeah, they're just moving through their body nice and fluidly. You can just move around and sort of get out the kinks just wherever you're tight anyway. So like more often is probably better, but there is a balance with everything, right? If you're saying you're like, cool, I'm like smashing out training sessions, you're getting like 4 sessions in a day. But you, your body will carry, you'll cook yourself a little bit. So there's always that level. But I also want to be able to do more. Like if something comes up, like say I want to train in the morning and then like, I don't know, my friend wants to go for a run and someone's like, all right, we're going for like, we're climbing outdoors. I don't want to be like, oh, I can't do that, man. I trained this morning and like, I want to have the capacity to do that. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's the key thing, like you said, is knowing what your body is requiring. So that's actually learning how to listen to it properly. And sometimes we haven't yet gauged how to listen to it, but actually by starting some of these movement and then having the feedback and then knowing how you recover and then building upon that, then you're listening to your body in more of a detailed manner. So you're understanding it. You know, and yeah, sometimes you need rest. You know, I think recovery is a big big place at the moment in terms of where it's at in social media and information. Everyone's talking about better recover, better recover, better recover. But we're also at a point in a time where people aren't moving enough either. So it's like, well, it's a confusing time because people out there who have no idea if and they've never exercised before, which I get people in here to be like, well, I've never moved or exercised before. I'm like, wow, really? Like, but you walk around and lift the shopping and like, you know, put the clothes out on the line. Like that's movement.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you need, not to be hard, but you need something to recover from, right? Like life's already hard. Well, it can be. I don't want to say that, like, you know, it can be hard. You're tired, you're sore, whatever else, right? Like, you're not super enthusiastic about doing something you don't enjoy. But, like, no, like, you'll get that super compensation. Like, you might be a little bit more tired after you've done something. But then, like, in the long run, you're better off for it, right? You have more capacity. Yeah. And you get to ask the questions, like, what is too much? What's not enough? Like, I've asked it in lots of things, right? The brain's a funny thing where it tells you, you know, tell you something sometimes it's not always accurate. Jumping on yourself, like, and you have a sprint for 20 minutes over a second. You're like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. You're like, no, I'm not going to die. It's all right. Like, you got to have this conversation. So it's good to question, like, a few times. And you get some answers as well. Like I've learned on both sides, pushing too far. Even if I like hanging my swimming from a bar is a good example. Like, your hand gets sore after a certain amount of time, depending on what your capacity is, gets a bit mushy. And I used to stop, I was like, oh, my hands are sore. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, oh, there's nothing really wrong with them, right? And I used to just stop my session. I'm like, all right, cool. Let's just keep going. Let's see how it goes. But kept going. I'm like, all right, they're sore, but they're fine. Kept going again. I'm like, all right, cool. So it was all in my head. One more time, big rip, all the skin pulled off the palm of my hand. I was like, okay, that was sore for a reason. That's the going too far. Like, and then you find out, like, what are the signs? How far can I push it? Like, you know, and then you understand, like, they're at the end of the spectrum and you're slowly moving those. Yeah. So it's good. Well, for me, it's useful on me, not on anybody else, but I figure out where those end, and then you can start to sort of, you get that when people are talking back to you, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. Yes, that's normal. No, that's not. Let's look at this. You know, and you need a bit more feedback.
Yeah. And I think that's the safety part where we had this conversation the other day where, you know, your body just wants to desperately protect you. So it's going to tell you, no, that's because that's your set point. You know, so it knows like this is a set point. This is scary. You know, the signals are like, stop, this might be something that's going to kill you. But if you, you know, push a little bit, you know, like a sprint, right? And obviously your brain, you don't really want to, you never, I don't always go, yay, I can't wait to sprint because it's hard, or to do the assault bike.
I've never heard you say that.
Well, my brain's.
No.
Yeah, one deck. I'm going to hold you back more often than not.
Yeah. But because it's going to be hard and you know, your body's like, oh, your brain's resistant, you know, the assault bike, the sprinting, it's going to be tricky. But you do it and you feel like you're going to vomit, or you feel like, you know, you've pushed yourself. And because of that challenge afterwards, you feel fucking amazing. Like absolutely top of this world. I want to sprint every day. And I always do this when I sprint. I'm like, I'm going to go back tomorrow. I can't wait to sprint. But then you wake up in the morning, you're like, ooh, yeah, nah, I can't sprint today.
Yeah. So there's a good combination of those things where, like, I want to, especially like, cause, like, again, things can be challenging. It's not like, and again, I learned this when I was pretty young, the Dave and Goggles mindset or whatnot. Like, I was doing boxing and everything else. So I was just like, all right, like, why am I not getting better, or why am I not getting stronger? Like, I'm too weak. That was a bit of a narrative, right? Keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. And then I was like, oh, I'm pushing sort of harder than these other people, but, you know, like, it's not necessary to give me the outcome I want. And I just kept pushing. I ended up dislocating my shoulder when I was like 17, and I didn't really have anybody to talk to about it. I went to the doctor and he's like, is it back in? I was like, yeah, sort of popped out, came back in. And he's like, oh, there's not much you can do about it, mate. And I was like, you're just sort of like that for the rest of your life now. So anyways, a bit of research and found out, like, down the track, there are things I could do about it. But it's not like the pushing isn't necessarily the hard skill to learn. It's like, where can we apply that effort? So if I can make an environment for somebody where I can set them up that they can get a really good outcome without necessarily going through, not sometimes you need to, but unnecessary suffering, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you can learn how to push, you just suck it up and go, but it's like intelligent about it. And it can build that to somebody. And that's a really nice environment that it's like, you don't have to, I don't know, like, we're not, you don't have to hurt yourself, right? It's not, that's not part of it. It's not, it's sort of silly, but yeah, we can push and you can, like, you'd probably break your knee and keep running if you wanted to, but it's not useful to you. So it's like, how can we, like, layer these things on? Again, it's progressions and then the right thing. And I might change it for somebody if they're like, they absolutely hate something, but something else we're going to give them a similar outcome. I won't tell them it's the same thing, but you just frame it in a different way. And it's like, gentle where you need to be gentle, but then also still stepping up and being like, there is some things that, like, you do need to embrace, I guess, or accept or deal with or whatever. But it's not, if you can support somebody in the right way, it's not that hard. Like, you that can kind of flourish, right? But some people don't have that, and the jump between, like, pushing yourself versus, like, where you're at can seem insurmountable. But it's like, no, it's just these small steps with a bit of support. And again, like you said before, you can be sort of amazed at what the body can do, right? And asking better questions is the right output. Yeah, and then every now and then you can challenge yourself. When you're feeling good, you're like, I like a bit of a challenge. Like, that was a bit scary, or that was a bit this. It was the right dosage, right? And I stepped up to it. And then that's something you miss as well, the dopamine after it. They're like, I wasn't sure I could do that, and I did that. Like, that was a bit challenging. Got a bit, like, you know, like, sweaty, my palms. It's really nice. It's a good feeling. So, again, that same broadening of the world, right? So that what you live in and, like, your capacity and what you can deal with is it's really cool. But it doesn't need to be, like smash and bash or just really hard, whatever. There's a nicer way to do it with support. And then there's obviously your own, like, accountability and responsibility. But someone's there to back you up and help you in the right way. It's sort of missing a little bit, because some people just things work for them, and some people it doesn't, and there's a big discrepancy between it. And trying to figure out, like, how can I support the people that just doesn't work as well as it should, and how can we get moving a bit better or working a bit better? So that's a big thing. Not really that looked at, because then you just label yourself, oh, I can't do this, I'm not that. Versus, like, why? And how do we get you closer towards that goal?
And that's what I love that you say all the time, is that you've got to ask better questions. And that I see it as this complete perception shift. You know, you have to perceive it in a different way or see it in a different way and know where to ask the questions and how to ask the questions and which questions you need to ask. And that will definitely give you the answers that you need. But I think we are just used to like one line of questioning and it's not always the way to do it. So I really love how you always say that. It's such a good reminder.
Yeah.
So my next sort of rapid fire before we finish up, because there's always so many things, but barefoot or not barefoot?
Yeah, I like barefoot as much as possible. So it depends what avenue you're looking at. So as much as possible, but we'll put an asterisk. So like if you've been wearing shoes your whole life and you get a bit of pain doing certain things, you might need to, for certain activities, have some more support. But like if you can, you know, get the foot working a little bit better, like just more articulation through the feet, right? Like I guess it's good. It's coming to like our attention nowadays that people are, you know, talking about, you know, going barefoot a little bit more. They're getting in, they're spreading their feet up. They have better control of their feet. They're working on the muscles of the feet. It's, like it has been neglected. You can go too far down the other route with everything and be like, it's all in the feet. I'm like, no, it's always a combination of a bunch of different factors. But yeah, like if you're barefoot, if you can, is you're missing out if you're not doing it. It can have a lot of big benefits. Don't be afraid to go build up your capacity. You should get on a dowel stick or a broomstick and kind of just roll up underneath your feet a little bit and like learn to lift your arches up, drop them down, move your toes around. Get those feet muscles working well. Turn the foot into a foot. Like, get a bit of a callus underneath your feet a little bit. Like, be able to walk down. This is a bit of a chit to a lot of people, but be able to walk down to the beach without it, like, hurting the bottom of your feet, right? Build up a bit of capacity, just a little bit. You don't have to have big, gnarly, disgusting feet. They're just a bit of capacity, right? Get them bouncy, get them moving well. But, again, you can also go down the other end of the spectrum where I've seen people run, like marathons trying to run marathon barefoot without building capacity and causing injury. So like there's a spectrum, but just gently build up but if you're always been wearing shoes, you've never been barefoot, start to work on the feet a little bit, try to go barefoot a little bit more and it does pay dividends for sure.
I love talking about this because I'm a big barefoot lover. And we train sometimes barefoot, which is great. But then plyos and things like that, like you said, there's a limitation. You know, the ligaments need to have a little bit of bounce. Otherwise, we wear them out.
Yeah, sure. You want some support. Like I try to talk real quickly, but I learned the hard way again. When I first started doing a lot of barefoot things, I noticed a big difference. Like even just like in gym, I could sneak and just like squat and dead it barefoot. I was like, oh, that's a lot better. And then got to work with Aslan, did a lot of stuff on the balance rails and like really stuff to do with the feet. And it was just, oh, this is the next level. My feet were amazing. So everything barefoot's better, right? And I think I had a optional shoulder surgery from when I tore my labrum when I was 17. When I was recovering, I was like, cool, I can't do anything else, so I'm going to run. So I chucked on the barefoot shoes and just took off running and did that a few times, got a beast runs. Until I went from zero volume to like lots of volume, I was just like, oh, my feet are a bit sore. I'd get up in the morning and I was just like, that plantar fasciitis, it wasn't really, it was more toward the heel, it's odd, you know, and I just sort of ignored it, kept going, pushing through for something. So just too much running without building up the capacity barefoot. So it's just like if we're doing something like half or plyometrics where we want a bit of support landing, I want a shoe on to most people, right? You can do some and to a lesser degree. But if we're as good, like I'll do both, but sometimes when I'm demoing for certain clients as well, they're hitting some big jumps. I'm getting excited. I don't have shoes on, bouncing around. Next day I'm sore as all hell. That fucks up my training. So I've got to remind myself when I'm doing this, but I put some shoes on. And some of the stuff is pretty hard. Like there's a lot of load. So it's good support for certain exercises to have what we need. But then when we don't need it, you don't want to rely on that cushioning, right? So get back to barefoot with everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I did similar. I didn't tear anything, but I think in 2009, I got myself some Vibram 5 fingers and did the same, ran everywhere and then ended up injuring my feet. Growing up on a farm, I've always had hard feet and walked around everywhere and I preferred barefoot, but I've had to, what's the word for it? I don't even know the word for it. Be put inside. So now I have to wear shoes and be all proper in business. Yeah. Domesticated, that's it, yeah.
I don't struggle with it as much anymore, but even because I live in units, going out and getting some sunshine in the morning, like, just got trackies on my coffee and I'm sitting in the bottom of the squat while people are walking with their briefcase to work, and I'm just like, feel like I look like that weirdo. But I'm not living ever, right? Like, I'm in the park barefoot and sunshine's there, I'm doing some things, and again, that's just restricting my life if I'm not doing that. I'm not hurting anybody. Yeah, trying to have the best of both worlds. And you enjoy it. You get people like barefoot, running around, playing around, they're just having more fun. It's like, they haven't allowed themselves to have that fun in a very long time. And it's where, like, you're allowed to enjoy yourself, right? You're allowed to do things that are okay. Doesn't matter, like, the socially acceptable thing. Like, there is a level of that. But, like, you can take the shoes off. It's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like we have to let ourselves be kids more often and play more often. And this is what it's about. I think the movement styles that we've even spoken about today, it's more about playing, you know, handstands, cartwheels, jumping, you know, moving different ways. It's meant to be play. Like, that's how we play as children.
Yeah, it's good fun, right? So it's more motivation. Like you said, it got you down to training, right? Learning handstand. That was something that was very, very frustrating for me at the start, but really good fun. And I didn't race it that much at the time. It was more like everybody else at the gym was doing it. I better learn it. I couldn't do it. It was very frustrating. I'm like, I'm stronger than these people. Why can't I do this? And then just like layering. And then when I sort of had to focus on handstands for a while because of other things in my training. Like, what it gave me was amazing. I got to train outside in the sun. It was still strength work, but it was just very focused strength work. Like, I've never been good at balance. And then the interaction with people, like, if I'm training in parks, if I used to be able to do that, I could hold 10 seconds, I'd give it a shot, they'll show me. Like, other people had so much fun trying things, teaching. Some of them hadn't been in the gym before with their, 40, 50, sometimes 60, like, trying to learn and handstands. It's absolutely amazing. It gives you so much. It's so much fun. It's such a simple thing. So, and I feel like that applies to a few different things, but it's just, yeah, that was, I underestimated the outcome that, what that gave me, all the sort of benefits of just learning how to balance on my hand.
Just constant cues and feedbacks. Yeah, that's probably been the one, the best and also the most frustrating thing that I've ever done in my whole entire life, to be able to try and just get a hold up. Because you think, just throw yourself up in the air and you'll be right. Like, just give it a go. But there's so many idiosyncrasies that happen. And also all of your, like we've talked about, all of your discrepancies in your body show and your weaknesses in certain areas, or if things aren't turned out right or a little bit flexy here and then catching it, and then you don't think properly, you don't turn on, and you just like daydream for a second and whoop, you're gone.
yeah so you think you're nice and straight standing upright, or you've got some postural issues standing upright, wait till you're upside down, like you've got things that pop up, you're like, oh. But that's a really cool thing about training, where you can, like, when you train these different, I guess when you train in these different ways, you get exposure to these different things, you can get all these side benefits as well. It's like going outside to the sunshine. There's a long list of things why it's good, right? It's like handstands can fix shoulder issues. You can teach better, like, and better alignment, just how your better awareness of your body. It layers on different things. And it's not just handstands, but yeah, spending time on your hands, moving around in different ways. It builds a system to help you learn other things as well, which is, it's like gains and different things, and that there's like the mental capacity is very large when you get exposed to it. But once you start realizing there's a process to it, there's that frustration. It's okay to be shit. Usually our standards are very high, and maybe you come from where you are when you first come in. It's like you don't like being not good at something, and that's good motivation, right? Like, it's like,
absolutely, yeah.
There's a process as well to it. You can't only better. Sometimes it's humbling. So then you understand, like, you get to figure things out. Oh, what's going on? It's wisdom input. But what's going on here? What was that? I'm falling. Why did I fall? What was going on there? I wasn't paying attention to that. And so it's just learning a different game. Like, oh, why am I really bad at this? What's going on? And that's the life found. Really. That's great for the brain. And you can apply that to study or learning something else. Like, why am I not retaining this? What's going on here? And it gives you this really good system, but it's a bit of a wall to break through, right? But once I know that, again, that's where the goal is, you sort of embrace it. You're like, all right, I'm okay with it. Like, let's see how I go with this. Let's build some, like, intrinsic awareness. And all these things are happening when you're training anyway. That's a little bit magnified when you do these other things.
Yeah. It's just so much more noticeable. Absolutely. So lastly, because we have to cover this off because it's not, it would be miss of us to not to, but nutrition. Yeah, huge part. Obviously, you know, when you're training, we're always thinking about nutrition and making sure, you know, in my office, in your outdoor office, there's all these things that we need to be thinking about to nourish our body so it can move the best. So maybe let's just give general things that you find yourself saying to people often.
Yeah. Like with all information, it depends on the person I'm giving it to, and I'm trying to suss them out first and like get a gauge of where they're at. Otherwise, this is where the problem is. It's like people give information and they're sort of talking to a certain group of people, but they'll give it to the internet and then everyone just jumps on top of that and it's all taken out of context and you battle about crap that doesn't really matter because there's no context involved. So if you come in and train, Joe, you either don't forget to have a good meal, so eat a little bit more after you've worked hard, because I know you're busy, you've got kids, you're running around, you're doing these things, that your output's a little bit higher. Have a little bit of carbohydrates, like recover from your training session. Like, that's important. I've worked you hard, deliberately tried to work you hard. I see where your capacity is, and I'm trying to get you, like, about there, right? So sometimes eating a little bit more, it's okay. Like, you can have, and again, I'm trying to suss out where people think they can't have, like, can't have rice, they can't have potatoes, they can't have carbohydrates. I'm like, no, you can, depending on what you're doing. Like, eat well after this. And like fueling yourself. So like when we're not doing any kind of movement or any kind of training, you tend to just eat less, which is okay because you're not doing anything. But when you are doing something, you kind of want to pull energy through the system. That was the best way I've described to me, where I'm going to eat a little bit more, but I have a bit better output. And then I can eat a little bit more and recover again as well. And it's this really nice way that just sort of gets everything churning over well. You can kind of talk about, you know, your million different like macro makeups and different foods you want to put in, but just like eat to support yourself. You don't have to overeat. And like training, there's like regressions and progressions of eating, I suppose. You're not going to go to eat like 5 meals a day when you're eating one. And say you're eating like a massive mac, you want to cut it back. You don't cut it back a shitload, just cut it back a little bit. And yeah, and just work on like the most obvious things. It's simple as well, everyone sort of said, your whole foods. You can go down, you know, this is about so many nuances, and that's really cool and important, but like find some stuff you enjoy, try to make it nice and simple. You know, farmers markets are amazing. I'm there most weeks. You know, stuff from the garden if you can. Dad and Sylvia, they've got, I raid their garden all the time. It's like, I'm like, what's this? Like, it's from the garden. I'm like, all right, I don't care what it is, I'm going to eat it, right? Like,
as long as it's edible.
Yeah, actually, I saw them in the garden the other day, and she was like, these weeds, I haven't picked them because I know you like to eat them. And I was like, it's a beautiful sourdough. It's amazing.
So good
after it.
Yeah.
Good quality food, ideally, if you can. Like, if you can learn to cook for yourself, even simply, it's very easy, even though it's hard. And then, yeah, like fueling for yourself so you have a bit of output so you can move and everything else, right? And then you can get strategic about whatever else you want to do, fasting, calorie deficits, all that kind of stuff. But like a lot of the time, again, depending on who it is, it's more like you need to eat more of the bare foods as opposed to just restricting and finding solutions to problems. But what's the blockage? Like, cool, you don't have time. Maybe this is easy to cook, like cooking in bulk. Or like you're getting that, you think it's healthy, like it's actually pretty shit. Like, let's give you a better option. There's the reasons why. Well, they're like, I don't know why, but I'm doing all these things. And I'm like, yeah, but this isn't this. And you explain that, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, and then it is like, how do you feel, and like how the body responding is the biggest metric, right? You can't sort of bullshit that. So it's like, how do you feel? How's the body responding? You get to do all the testing. You get to see. Like, you can tell me when I'm overeating certain oils and whatnot, and you can point out in the test. Or like, it's good to see. So those markers are a really good metric for us. Plus, how we feel. I'm like how we're doing with those things.
Yeah, no, good, really good points, all of that, I think. And it's highly individual, you know, summarizing all of that and, you know, eating the most vital foods you can. If it comes out of the garden, it's an edible weed, then, you know, go for it. And we need to be able to eat the vital foods. But also, yeah, I think for me, but also for many women that I see in my practice, and even some men as well, that we just don't eat enough for the capacity of what we're expecting of our body. And I think that's a really big thing, because we're always always thought to be having less. It's always in the media. It's always here, like calorie deficit. That's the best thing, you know, lose the weight or do this. Or so we're always in this calorie deficit mindset. Well, actually we need more, like, and I love that. That's conduit of like, you know, put in and pull out and put in and pull out. It's a really nice, you know, visual.
I do see that a lot as well. And it's actually the hardest people to change. It's not that a calorie deficit is wrong. Like, it is, you know, if you want to lose body fat, like, it's a very, probably the overarching metric, but there's other factors, you know, people argue about it to the cow's mind. But just from what I see, right, like with people, so, but yeah, pulling, getting that system working better, right? So, so pulling energy through and then expending a bit more and you can ramp some things up, right? And you can be really pedantic about it. And sometimes you may need to be if you're not getting the outcomes you want, but you don't have to be at the start. It's just like, I have a little bit more output, I'm going to eat a little bit more, right? And then, like, more volume of foods, like, because you're trying to give general advice about what's good and what's not as good, all those things. But, yeah, like, foods you enjoy, foods that are awesome, yeah, and there's all those other, like, side things or the benefits you can start to tweak with your different foods and your outcomes and whatnot. And that can be very individual, but it doesn't have to be complicated until it needs to be complicated, right? Like, something, as some things do get complicated, you're like, okay, something's not working, and you're scratching your head. I'm like, and I stuff it up a little bit where I maybe give too much information and there's too many things. I'm trying to explain the reasons why. So there's a bit of buy-in. But again, for me, that's more just like I make suggestions and advice. I have done nutrition substitute with more suggestions and advice and getting a bit of a buy-in and then like getting the person to maybe feel like they're educated themselves, have a bit better understanding, and then they're able to apply that better. And I try not to. I used to be like, people would maybe a podcast today, but people would listen to all sorts of different stuff. But I heard this podcast and this is it and this is good and that's bad. And I'm like, I'm getting annoyed. No, and I used to just like drill them. I'm like, no, that's fucking wrong. Like, they want whatever else, or they don't have enough understanding. But it's not that it's necessarily right or wrong. If that person likes it and they're educating themselves, I might just try to see where there's that problem and kind of give them nuance and then let them learn however they want to learn.
Yeah, no, that's always.
And always.
Try to find better ways to do things.
Yeah. I interviewed Olivia Lesler, Dr. Olivia Lesler, not long ago, and her, the thing she said the most throughout the whole session for this virtual symposium that we're doing, she just said, nuances upon nuances, Jody. It's just nuances upon nuances. And I'm like, you're exactly right.
Yeah. If we've got I'll watch enough pocket. Someone will figure out a way to explain it, like general information. Like, we want a general information and then just arguments, but how do we, like, do you say specific things, right, and then people hold on to that? Do you give very, very specific detail? This can do that. Like, I guess, how can we give better, or how can I go down this? How can I give better context for people to understand when or when not to utilize, and then maybe have choices about how to do that without being too overwhelming? And then also, if somebody wants to be overwhelmed with more information, have that as well, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it is. And I think these sorts of pieces of information help with the context explained over a longer period of time, and people can then apply it into their own lives, which I think is really useful. This is why I do these podcasts, is to then get people to see things in different ways and to be able to learn about it in a different way.
Yeah. Well, how is your body responding, right? Like, and sometimes there's whys that we don't know about. That's important. But usually if something works, it's like, how's your body responding? How do you feel? If someone, like, you know, if there's something going on that's a bit odd, someone can maybe tell you, yeah, this is a power of horse, right? It's going to happen. Like, other times, use that metric. Come back in. How did I feel when I did that? Did I feel better or worse? Like, years ago, I applied to many different things. Like someone's like, oh, I'm doing this or that. I'm trying not to say what they're doing, so I don't want to be biased. But in my head, I'm like, it's fucking horrible. But I feel better. I'm like, okay, that's. And then when you don't feel better, I'm going to do something about it. But if you feel good, and then to be honest, I don't want to be like, you don't want to ever think you know, like, I've still got to have that mindset. I don't know. There's no way I know anything in any way, shape, or form. So I don't want to ever even assume I'm right, even if it's like sounds like real simple and silly. That's the biggest thing, actually, listening to people. When I get that, when I'm training people with injuries, where I look at certain things, and sometimes I look at, and my person, and I'm like, it doesn't seem like that injury should be a thing, or that doesn't, like what they're saying doesn't add up. But usually they've gone and seen other people, and other people would have thought the same thing. So I've just got to show up and listen and try to work with them, and then like just trust the fact that what they're telling me is the truth. And then how do we work around that, or work with them in that role? So that's a big thing as well. I think people don't get enough of, you know, so having that the right communication between to figure out problems better.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that's the benefit of having someone either one-on-one in a group and watching what you do. And that's why I suggest a lot of people do this work with someone who can watch what they're doing, because sometimes you can't work that and have that worked out for you, or even see your mistakes and then end up in injuries and then have to stop your routines and then not be building muscle and not be progressing or whatever they think in their own routines. And this is why I think it's so useful and to have someone like yourself, you know, training you, it's just, yeah, it's amazing just for those purposes.
It's the bottlenecks that are the biggest problem. Well, once somebody can come up and figure out a little bit of a structure, you're pretty good to go. But it's like every now and then you're going to hit a bottleneck, or there's an issue or something else, right? And it's just solving that quickly. Instead of spending how many years I had to, or other people, like years on fixing something or figuring out that stuff. So just someone's going like, oh, this, let's do that. Let's pivot here. Let's apply that. Yes, this happens because of that. And then you just send them back on their way again. And that's, I've got to figure out a better way to do that, maybe online or whatever. I've been saying that for a long time. But it is a bottleneck. And I think that's the best way to help people. They have a general structure. People are capable, and you want to build their capabilities. I don't want to hold on to people. I want them to be able to do what they do. And say, here's the problem. How can I help you solve it or navigate around it and get back out and keep doing the thing, keep living life? And that's it. That's, again, that's where I think the answer is.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Love, love, love that. Could talk to you for hours, but I need to let you go now. So where can people find you, Ben? Like best places to ask you questions maybe, or
I think Instagram's nice and easy because I like to answer whatever I want, but I love answering different questions and problems and whatnot, so people want to reach out. Otherwise, I'm just like, you know, telling my damn wife she can't accept something, but he doesn't care. So somebody might have probably utilized the information, otherwise I'm just boring somebody else with it. Instagram, maybe I can reach out, like a link.
We'll put the link down below for your handle.
But like, if you reach out and ask, I love to have discussions about things, and I'm always trying to learn. So very useful way. And I'm working out of Aspire in Osborne Park, so that's just one-on-one PTs at the moment.
Amazing. Yeah. And you're going to be building online stuff soon. I keep on pushing you every time I see you. Ben, sort something out. Ben, sort something out. Ben, sort something out. Just little nudges, thanks so much for your time today, Ben. And as we said at the start, hopefully one of many of these, and we can dive into different topics down the track into, you know, different podcasts. And I think that will be really fun and do a little bit more detail.
I love the discussion. So thank you, Jodie, as well. They're interesting for me. So I get to learn as well. And hopefully I ramble less and I can be more like specific, and like sometimes you want useful things you can implement straight away. But what I understand, I'm like, what can I do? What can I do? Tell me what I can do. Sometimes it's discussion, so they don't get that. So that might be really useful.
Yeah. No, I think you've given a lot of actionable advice for everyone in this as well. And I think the stories really help of how people have adapted and what they've been through. And that's, I think, a really key thing that we need is stories to teach us. And we actually remember it much more. It's integrated better in that way as well. So I think there's room for everything.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Until next time. Yeah. Until tomorrow.
See you later.
We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and it is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.